Text for this morning, congregation, is taken from Mark 1, and the verses 40 and 41. There we read God's word again. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and toucheth him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Theme for this morning is the healing of the leper by Jesus Christ. The healing of the leper by Jesus Christ. This morning I would like you to look into a mirror and see yourself from a new perspective. I want you to look to yourself from a different angle, namely, as God sees you. I want you to see yourself represented in this leper. In every leper whom we meet in the Bible, because every leper in the Bible we meet is a sermon, is a living sermon to us. Every leper was a sermon giving spiritual truths. And when we look at this leper first, first thing we know about this man is that he is in a lot of pain. Luke, the doctor, describes him as a man who is full of leprosy. Leprosy was a terrible disease, possibly the worst disease you could get in those days. It started unnoticed in the body, and it could take a few years, and it started then come out with a little pinhole. It was small. But this spot was an indication and that the disease progressed beyond remedy. The disease spread throughout the body and affected the nerve endings, and that meant a lot of pain. Soon parts of the body became numb, and the disease ate toes and fingers away, or a nose or an ear. It was a terrible thing to see. It was an infectious disease, which meant that the person had to be away from the family, from the immediate surroundings. People had to stay far away from them. Open sores spread germs through the air so that other people could also be infected. And so the lepers were basically incurable. In Leviticus, we read several chapters on leprosy and what a leper had to do, but we also read about regulations when cured of this disease. The wonderful thing is that we do not know from someone in the Old Testament who was cured of this disease except Naaman and Miriam, the sister of Moses and Aaron. It was a painfully long disease and finally resulted in death. So the people, therefore, were considered dead even when alive. But they were just considered dead. In those days, people had procedures in their town or village. When someone was diagnosed with this disease, you were not only expelled from your own town and village, but people took a shovel of dirt and they throw that over your head, and indicating that you were buried. Banished, they were considered dead from their community. And there it is where it would end for the leper. Death. Leviticus also tells us what the leper should do, how he has to withdraw himself from the community, and how to behave. They had to tear their clothes so that people could see they had this disease. They were not to allow to wear anything on their heads. Nothing could be done to cover up the disease a little bit. They could not camouflage this disease with clothes or with something on their head. They had to walk with their hand on their mouth and warn others so that they could not be infected with this disease. And they had to scream when people got near to them. And then had to scream, unclean, unclean. Congregation, here we have a mirror for our soul. Why is this disease so strongly emphasized in both the Old and the New Testament? Is it not for the fact that it is such an accurate picture of our spiritual condition for the Lord? If we had a kind of a mirror which would not let us see how we look physically, not our hair, our eyes, or our clothes, but a mirror that shows us our souls, instead of admiration, we would be embarrassed. Instead of applause, we would be ashamed. Because instead of what we see in reality, we would see that we are infected with a terrible disease, worse than all kinds of diseases, viruses, like Ebola, scary in its cause, terrible in its effects, and horrifying in its outcoming. Not only physical death, but also spiritual death and eternal death. And like leprosy, sin can be hidden for a long time. It can sit there a long time before showing. Years pass without knowing it, blinded as we are. Hidden it is, even for us. And we try to hide it from other people. But however we try, at a certain moment, there are small spots showing. And we try to cover up. We try to, with spiritual cosmetics, to hide it. We try to deny it, or we try to minimize it. But that little spot tells us that something worse is going on in me. And what it is, and what is inside, eats away spiritual capabilities. Sin destroys everything. It infects. And like leprosy, it's contagious. It spreads. We may think that with one sin it will stop, but no. There's a whole chain of cause and effect. There's an infection, and another infection, and another infection. And we cannot stop it. It affects us, but also others around us. And when we look at this mirror, we can be but horrified, disgusted by the sight. What is sin? Horrible. Congregation, take this leper as a mirror of yourself before God. And ask the Lord now to show me who you are. Lord, show me who I am. Let me see this is me. Show me that with what this leper had on the outside, I have in the inside. Show me my sores, my wounds of sin. Show me how sin has spread into my life. Show me the ugliness of sin. Show me how painful it is. How it affects my inside. And show me how it dumbfolds me. How it takes my desire for thy word and spirit of God away. Show me how sin makes me cold and indifferent. that my heart is hardened by it, and show me the consequences of sin in my life. Show me the emptiness of it. Show me the loss it brings, the anger it produces, the hatred it sows. Help me, O Lord, to get rid of it. Show me, as this leper was pronounced dead by his family and the community, that I am spiritually dead, and that there's a need to shovel dirt over me, which shows me that I am doomed. Show me, just as leprosy shows, that I am separated from God, and that I am alienated from him, cast away from his presence because of my impurity. Congregation, have you gone through this? Through what this leper has gone through? Endured what he must endure? When you stand before God Almighty, you really come to see the depth of your misery, which is worse than that of the leper. You will discover what a shameful state you are in, and you might hide your face, and you put an hand on your mouth, so that others would not be affected, and that God would not be offended by your sin. You know, you should say it with the words of the psalmist of Psalm 38. My groaning is not hid from thee. Unclean, unclean. Do you see yourself? Ask the Lord that he will take away the blinders, and that he removes your blindness, and that he shows you your deception, that he shows you who you really are. You're not different from this man full of leprosy. Wouldn't it be good if by the Spirit's grace we apply the words of Psalm 38 to ourselves? My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. I am feeble and sore broken. This is the experience of the people confronted with the word of the living God. This is the result of the preaching of the gospel. There are people here, perhaps in your family, who have experienced this. They have wrestled with this. They have seen the wickedness of their hearts. They have seen their folly of resisting God. And they were grieved over this because of their sin. Where is it today? Are we better than them? They discovered their weakness with the poet of Psalm 38. I am feeble and sore broken. And there was a roaring in their hearts to God. Do we still know this? I have roared because of the disquietness of my heart. David, who wrote this Psalm 38, knew what it was to hear the roaring of a leper. He knew of the disquietness of the heart, of a heart that is completely leprous. But this leper was not only full of pain and sorrow, but he was also a man of prayer. And seeing Jesus, he fell on his face and besought him, he prayed him. Why? Well, if you thought you were a leper, you had to go to the priest. And you read in the Old Testament how the priests were instructed to detect leprosy. They had to test whether people had it or had it not. And if they had a disease, then the instructions followed. The leper comes here to the high priest. The leper comes to him who knew of sin and its consequences, but he never committed any sin. He is able, though, to detect sin and to uncover it. So here, this leper comes to the great high priest in the belief that Jesus knows everything also of him, and that he can see the leprosy of the soul. But he also came in the conviction that he not only saw his leprosy, but also was able to cure him of this leprosy. He will not only pronounce him unclean, but he also can cleanse him from this disease. And in this way, we see this leper coming to Christ. And we read that he knelt. In Luke, we read that he fell on his face. In any case, he confesses his unworthiness. He confesses his poverty before the great high priest of heaven and earth. And he knelt, and he came humbly and submissively to Jesus' feet, knowing he had no merits, and besought him. We read that word has something of the idea of begging. It is a prayer out of distress. This man had nothing more to ask, and he had no rights. He could not claim anything. Here comes someone like a beggar, and someone who is very aware that he is unclean, a dying person. He had no right of healing. To healing. In this way, he comes to the Lord Jesus as a potter's vessel that stands before the potter, confessing the sovereignty of the Maker, for to do with him as he, the Maker, thinks is right. For to pick him up as a cracked potter's vessel, either to destroy him or to heal him. He comes here begging. That is clear also from the words he uses. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What does he say here? First of all, he is unclean. And also that he cannot make himself clean. But at the same time, he believes and confesses the Lord Jesus can. He can make me clean. If thou wilt, thou canst. And here we are also shown how we have to come to Jesus. We have to come personally and humbly. Let us not think that we have any right or can come with any demands to Christ. He is the sovereign King. He is the ruler over all. He can handle us as he pleases. Do we come with that attitude and with the words of a beggar? Do we come with this confession, Lord, I am unclean. I can't cleanse myself. Lord, thou canst make me clean. Lord, if thou wilt. This word if he uses is not an if full of doubt. Doubting if the Lord is able to do, and if I don't know if he has the power to do. No, not at all. The leper surrenders himself completely to the will of Jesus. And that is how it needs to be to us, for us. I know we are people who like to take care of everything. We like to keep everything in our own hands. We do what we want. And usually we get what we want. and what we desire. But when it comes to salvation, to our salvation, and it doesn't depend on our wants and our desires, here we have no power, no authority over His, Jesus' will. We have to kneel at Jesus' feet saying, Thou hast every right to cast me away or to save me. Do what you want with me, if thou wilt. Do we see that our salvation, that your salvation, does not depend on your will? Do you see now that He is sovereign and that you are the beggar? Listen to His testimony. It was not like this, that he one day he stepped out, if he could walk still, out of the door and decided to get cleansed today. As if he made that decision for himself. As if I can make that choice. No, this man tells us, like John puts it, that he was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. This man says amen to the words of Paul, written in Romans chapter 9, so then it is not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. But of God that showeth mercy. Your only hope for salvation is by saying amen to these words. Your whole salvation rests on the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your salvation depends not on your choice. And you can't sit here with the thought, oh, well, one day I will make a decision. One day I will make a choice to get saved. No, just forget that. It is, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And make this your prayer. Lord, my will is a corrupt will and in bondage. My will is a sinful will. And it's a will that loves sin. It's a will, it loves disobedience. Lord, my salvation can never depend on my decision. But Lord, if thou wilt, thou can change my soul. So if thou wilt, thou canst. And we, congregation, we may want and want and want, but unless He wills it, all our wants are vain. What a humbling and humiliating truth this is for us, to look in the mirror, to see you are lost, and to know that it is totally impossible for you to change that outside the will of Christ. A complete leper. But there is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And we read, and Jesus moved with compassion. You know, sometimes when you confess your weakness to somebody else, they use it to humiliate you again, even more. The world has no compassion and no mercy. The weak are often abused and humiliated. But here is compassion and mercy towards the leper. The Lord Jesus looks upon him with eyes full of compassion. The situation touches his heart. He is moved inwardly. the misery of this man. His plight moves his will. The best hope for our salvation is that we come to him and tell him, confessing our sinfulness and confessing our helplessness to save ourselves. And that's what we see here. The Lord sees he is helpless. The Lord sees he is unclean, and his weakness and helplessness touches him. He is moved with compassion. And he is the same today. For he sits at the right hand of the Father. In his human nature, he is there with this characteristics of compassion, and in the he is there as the sympathizing high priest. Certainly, his human nature is united with his divine nature, but his human nature is full of compassion for the needy soul. Let us do like this leper and kneel at his feet. He will not despise our weakness and helplessness. No, Jesus is moved with compassion, and he put forth his hand. What a moment this is. What a moment this is. Look at it. Look at it. Do you see it? Can you imagine it? This man was a leper. People have held back their hands. They always turned around, away from him. They did all they could do to avoid someone like him. Never came near to him. He felt isolated and separated from people and contacts. And here, for the first time in a long time, someone put forth his hand. He can't believe his eyes. Is this true? That hand coming toward him? Am I dreaming? But it's not only a human hand, it's the hand of him who bears the name Curious, Lord, Master. It is the hand of the Son of God. It's the hand that wants to lift him up. Congregation, here is Christ in the gospel, and he stretches his hand out to those who are outcasts and rejected. He reaches out his hand to them. He stretches out his hand to those who are lost and feel their separation from God because of their sins. Because of their sins have separated between them and their God. And there is no way back. But he stretches out his hand to lepers, to those who have to groan because of their miseries and are downcast because of their sins. And we read of in the Old Testament that the Lord said, I have spread out my hands all the day unto a rebellious people. And here is the gospel today. The Lord spreads his hands out. And he stretches his hand towards you, as the Lord did at the leper, all day in this time of grace. And do you see it? Do you see it at this moment? Does his hand is stretched out to you in the gospel? And do you see the hand of Christ coming toward you? And do you experience in this gospel his compassion and mercy toward you? His inner compassion with lost sinners as we are. With sinners who have destroyed themselves. Just see how unfit we are. The Holy One with the Unholy One. The sinless with the unclean. Does it not move you? Are you not wondered, amazed? Does it not humble you? For this is now our Savior. And not only he puts his hand forth to him, he touches him. And in doing so, he makes himself unclean according to Scripture, according to the law. Anyone who touched a leper, whether he was alive or dead, was unclean according to the law. They were not allowed to participate in the temple service anymore. They could not make any sacrifices anymore, and they had to stay outside the city. It is true. It is true. The Lord Jesus came to abolish the ceremonial law. In a certain way, he does it here. But here we clearly see the Savior as he is and wherefore he came. He is willing to take the uncleanness upon himself so that lepers could be cleansed. He is willing to take the sin of sinners so that sinners might be saved. He is willing to make sin for us who knew no sin, that we may become righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Was there ever a greater touch than this touch? Was there ever a richer touch than this touch? I read once of a unconverted person. He became a Christian by thinking about this hand of Christ touching this leper. It hit him and it moved him deeply in such a way that he was saved for eternity. Think about it. See what miracle this is, that such a Savior as Jesus, such a sinner as this leper, touched. Jesus is full of mercy in his dealings, in his works. In his word he says wonderful words, mercy words, saving words. And here we hear one of them. I will. What a moment this is. And he saith unto him, I will. Be thou clean. Because we only not meet someone who is full of mercy, but we meet also one who is full of power. He is almighty. For when he says, I will, be thou clean, what happens? Immediately, as soon as he has spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him at once. No 1 second later. No, he had spoken his word of power and the leper was instantly cured. Internally, externally, the sores disappeared, the nerves recovered, the feeling come back again, the pain was gone, the dead limbs returned, he received a healthy body again. And he was able to eat and to smell and to feel again. And now he can receive love of people again, enjoying fellowship and communion with others, welcome back in the city or village, in the society, and he returns back in the circle of his family and friends, and all thanks to those simple words, I will. And this is what you and I need. This hand full of power, this word of the Almighty King. For where the word of the king is, there is the power of the king. And for when he speaks, his word is done. He commands and it stands without delay. And every true Christian has this I will moment. Not the I will of himself, but this divine I will. This great merciful word shown and worked with great power in your life. It's not a powerless mercy, but it is a powerful mercy. A mercy which fulfills the desires of the heart. A mercy which manifests itself in I will of God. And every true Christian who comes home with God in heaven arrives there thanks to the I will of God. On these words, I will, follows immediately the cleansing. When God speaks his word of forgiveness, immediately a sinner is cleansed of his sin, and your whole record of sins is washed away, white as snow. Sins are washed away for now and forever. Clean, justified from all your sins, cleared of all your debts. All this because of Christ's words, I will. That is where a soul should look for, to hear his word of pardon. Is that where you look for? Is that what you need? Where you are searching for this moment? Is that what you eagerly want to hear? I will. I will be thou clean. And then also immediately clean. He commanded him to that he should tell no one, and he saith unto him, See, thou say nothing to anyone, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. In the temple there took place a ceremony. The priest took two birds. One bird was slain, and then the blood of that bird was flowed into a basin, a little basin, was there in collected and then mixed with water. So you got a mixture of blood and water in a basin. And then the other bird was taken, and it was immersed in the mixture of blood and water. And this bird was released. It seemed as if both would die, but instead one was released in his place. One of them could see that the other was slain. One of his own kind was slain first. And the next one thought, now they take me to slaughter. But instead of being killed, he was set free. One died to get the other free. Why did the Lord Jesus tell this man to do so? Because the cleansing of the leper found no other ground than in Christ's own death on Calvary's hill. And death whereof John testifies that one of the soldiers came with a spear and pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. That death of Christ, whereby the sinner is set free because of the death of the Savior. Is it our great desire to experience what that bird was experiencing? When you see death coming, you see that you deserve to die, to see that your blood must be shed, to experience then that there are the streams of blood of another, Jesus' blood instead of mine blood, blood that cleanses from all sin, blood and water that speaks us of cleansing and sanctification. immersed in it. And then the bird was taken by the hand of the priest and released. That is what salvation is. That is what salvation is, congregation. That bird was experiencing the freedom, his freedom. How much more, in a much, much deeper sense, you will experience freedom when you are saved in this way of death and damnation. What does this man tell his people, the people around him, his family, about the sacrifice of one bird and the other one could freely fly away? He could speak of death and salvation, freedom. Do you know anything about this also? Do you know what it means to be set free on behalf of the blood of another? Do you know what it means to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ? Congregation, how do you respond on this view in the mirror? Several answers can be given. You might say, I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything. I do not know what you are talking about. You close your ears and your eyes and you remain ignorant. Or you know it, but you deny it, reject it, you don't agree. Or you deceive yourself by saying, it isn't that bad with me. You can also respond with, I know all about it, but I do not care at all. I will not lose sleep over it. Or you respond with, I know this, but I'm getting desperate now. I can't help it. I can't do anything about it. Or you respond with, I know, and I know the remedy. What's your response? I do not know. I do not want to know. I know, but I do not care. I know, but I despair. Or, I know, but I know there's a Savior who listens to the name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, my Savior. Amen. You want to sing Psalter 351, congregation, all stanzas. Psalter 351, all stanzas. Let's unite in prayer again, congregation. Lord, we come to Thee as that leper who is full of pain, pain on our situation because of our sins, but also with prayer that Thou as the sovereign do Thine will. In this way we come before Thine countenance. To Thee we flee, to Thee we lift up our eyes for mercy. To Thee who art full of mercy and who has all the power to save. We pray that Thou wilt use Thine mighty will in our midst this morning, so that sinners who are delivered to their own will are set free from their sin. Show in this way Thy mercy, in that way, O Lord, we beseech Thee, and that many of us who have heard these words may experience the power of it until salvation in their own hearts and lives. Thou hast heard the answer on the questions asked, and, O Lord, that we may are anxious to hear those words, I will be thou clean. Bless Thine word, O Lord, in the name of Him who sitteth at the right hand, the praying high priest who lives to do supplication for us, we pray. And we ask Thee to be with those who mourn over their lost ones, with the sick among us, be with the pastor of this congregation, and bless him and grant him Thy Holy Spirit to explain Thy word in all boldness and in all clarity, and that people are drawn to Thee. Also be with the consistory, bless them to guide the congregation and also to bring the congregation always at Thine feet in prayer. O Lord, bring us also here this afternoon together to hear Thine word again, and we ask, be with the world we live in. There is so much going on. We pray for Thy coming, and we ask, let Thy kingdom come. We all pray this in the forgiveness of our sins, for Jesus' sake only. Amen.